others, it only seems to, especially when we see it fairly near the horizon. The reason is that when it's near the horizon, we're seeing the planet through a greater thickness of air than when it's overhead. The air, not the planet itself, acts like a prism to create the appearance of flashing colors. You can see Venus any evening around now, but tonight or in the next few nights, look below Venus for an equally compelling sight. The planet Mercury and the star Spica are now located very near each other in the western twilight sky. They'll be closest during the day on Sunday, so Sunday evening would be a good time to look. What you'll see first will undoubtedly be Venus, the brightest object in the west after sunset. Mercury and Spica are located below Venus, closer to the western horizon. They're very faint, but recognizable for their extreme nearness to each other. You can tell them apart if you remember that Mercury is brighter. Well, for this 19th day of September, that's our program. Stardate is written by Deborah Bird, and we produce it for the University of Texas MacDonald Observatory. We're in Austin. Our zip is 78712, and we welcome your cards and letters, too. Thank you so much for being with me. I'm Joel Block.
Thank you. Well, Eric Corley, are you there?
Yes, Mike Juhas, I certainly am. And
well,
it's good to be back.
Yes, it's been a while, hasn't it?
It has. We were preempted last week for the first time in our history. And,
yeah.
Well, it was fun doing what we were doing instead. I enjoyed that a lot more. Well, not a lot more, but a lot.
Well, I enjoyed
almost
it,
almost as
too.
A lot as this.
Well, the folks at home don't know what we were doing. We were down at the Fall Fest.
The Fall Fest, of course. You don't forget so soon. The entire weekend we devoted to it had fantastic concerts. Recorded a couple of speakers. We'll be playing Abbie Hoffman this Monday at 10, and next Monday at 10 we'll be playing Ralph Nader.
Ooh.
Yeah, so a lot of good things came out of that.
You know, speaking, before we get into what happened last week, this music that's underneath us.
Yes. Why don't we tell the story behind that music a little bit?
Since we just found out ourselves the true story about what happened, how this music came about.
And are you ever going to be surprised, folks? Because we certainly were.
Well, I had kind of figured it, because I knew the man was so talented he probably could.
Well...
And he did.
Let's first talk about the music a little bit, what we knew about it. We found it.
Yeah.
On a little sort of cassette-type thing.
Yeah, a tape cartridge. Which,
hanging out around the station. Didn't have any label on it whatsoever.
No, none at all, except 3.5.
Yeah, which doesn't mean anything.
Yes, it does. It means it's 3.5 minutes, the tape in
there. Oh, yeah, well, it doesn't mean anything as far as the song goes.
That's true.
So, we have this piece of music here. We asked some of you out there to help us out, but not one of you came up with a valid answer.
Do you know why that is?
Explain it, Mike.
Well,
explain
it's because it's an original composition. I don't know who did it. I don't know who originally composed it. But I do know that our own Andy Lisch is the featured performer.
Shocking but true.
It is, and I know that Andy Lisch is very talented.
What kind of an instrument is that he's playing exactly?
He's playing a synthesizer. He laid down 5 tracks for that particular recording, which lasts only 2 minutes and 19 seconds. He told me he spent about 5 hours one afternoon doing it.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. Our own Andy Lisch would come up with that, and we thought it was maybe, Jean-Michel Jarre or Walter Carlos or something. I even went through the record library once searching for something that might sound like that, and of course I didn't find it.
That's true. But that's
catchy
because
little,
yes, it is.
Thing.
It's Andy Lisch's friend composed it, and Andy arranged it and played it.
Did he give you a name for it?
No.
Oh.
No, it's just a fun type of thing. But, what he's going to do is he's going to compose a song for our theme, for us. And so we'll have that within a few weeks, we hope.
Well, that would be nice to have a specialized theme.
A customized theme.
Made
you know, that's big time. You can even get into hype.
Certainly is. And in case you don't know it, Andy Lisch does a contemporary religious program on our station every Sunday morning from 3 a.m. to 7 a.m.
It's a very interesting program, too.
It certainly is to listen to, no matter what your religion is or whether or not you have any. It's interesting just to hear what he has to say.
Yes, it is. Oh, hey, you know who has something else to say?
Who's that?
Funky and Spunky.
Oh boy.
They're here to welcome everybody back to school.
Let's hear from them then.
That was very nice of them to come in just to do that for us.
Just to do that. I'm sure they'll come back and do a little more for us a little later on, but it is a good public service announcement for all those new people who have come here to Stony Brook or anywhere. Don't play with blasting caps. That's sort of the motto here, and a good one to follow.
And do you know how to say that in Chinese?
How do you say don't play with blasting caps in Chinese?
So it goes something like Biao Chui Niu. Biao Chui Niu.
How did you find that out?
From my Chinese friend.
Oh.
Chinese carpool.
I see. That's very interesting. Well, Mike, you're Mike Juhas, of course.
And you're Eric Corley.
I guess that makes sense. We have a new name for the program now.
What is it?
It's the Voice of Long Island.
Oh.
Yes, we promised the folks we'd have a new name, and we have a new name.
Did you just made that up now, or?
No, we both came up with it simultaneously, or synchronized something or other.
In conglomeration with one another.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
The Voice of Long Island, you're going to be hearing a lot about the Voice of Long Island coming up in coming weeks and months and years.
That tone that you just had, that Voice of Long Island, you're going to be hearing a lot.
I don't know what you mean.
You just sounded like you were a commercial DJ.
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding.
Commercial DJs do not sound like that.
Only it depends on what they're trying to sell.
They usually sound a lot more, hype.
More hip.
Something like that.
With more hype. Hey, boys and girls, get down.
Well, we're not going to do that here because
we're
non-commercial.
We're non-commercial.
90.1 FM non-commercial radio in Long Island, Stony Brook, whatever.
And you can hear us all over the world. No, you can't really. Well, maybe, it's quite possible that somebody has a tape recording of say, Sino 78 somewhere in China.
Our Chinese music program, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, folks, we're going to have some news for you about Stony Brook and some news about Stony Brook. And in case you didn't know what that meant, we'll get back to you in just a few minutes to explain what that means.
We will?
Oh, yeah. We have some news about Stony Brook and Stony Brook.
Stony Brook and Stony Brook?
Yeah. Ooh. And we got some other surprises coming up for you now. Something for all the folks here at Stony Brook.
Yeah, there's a couple other things we're going to have.
I think they'd understand.
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
We're going to have it's coming up sometime tonight. We are going to have the Dial of Sound Effect.
Dial of Sound Effects. We have a new episode of The Tripods, which was postponed last week.
Right, so Don Topeka gets to take another week of vacation.
Yeah, he was on his last week of vacation last week, but since we got canceled, he'll be on a week of vacation this week, too.
Yeah.
How happy he must be.
Yeah.
Okay, we have something coming up soon that I think anyone on a college campus would appreciate. So stay with us, coming your way in a couple of minutes.
206-7901. But dial.
Location is a large northeastern college campus. The people on this campus are living in constant fear. Fear of the unknown horrors that abound here. Illegally parked cars, expired registrations, invalid campus parking permits. The list goes on. Is there no hope? Can nothing be done to ease the suffering? Fortunately, there is a solution. A few brave men patrol this campus day and night, seeking to make right what appears to be wrong, and asking for nothing in return except a weekly paycheck. These are the faithful men in brown who call themselves Campus Anxiety.
Another Friday night, Ken. Looks like it's going to be a long one.
I'll say, Frank. There's never a dull moment on this campus when a weekend rolls around. Someone's always doing something wrong.
Ain't that the truth? But wasn't it last weekend we caught that guy pressing all the buttons in the elevators?
Oh,
led to 14 arrests. That did.
What a scandal. No, Frank, you're thinking of the weekend before that. Oh. Yeah, last weekend was when we caught those four punks walking across the grass in front of the biology building.
You're right, Ken, you're right. Could you believe the fuss those juveniles put up when we slipped the cuffs on them? Almost as if they thought they weren't doing anything wrong.
Yeah, it's the way that parents bring them up, I tell you. No respect, no regard for property.
Yeah, well, we'll see if prison life rehabilitates them at all.
Yeah, in about 2 to 4 years, I guess.
Yeah, sounds about right to me. You got the keys to the car, Ken?
No, I thought you had them.
Ken, you had them last night, remember?
No, I didn't.
Oh, not again. I tell you, we're the laughing stock of this entire campus. Do you know how many times we've locked ourselves out of our own patrol car?
7.
You mean 8 now?
No, it's still 7, Frank. The last time we lost them all together, so that doesn't really count.
Look, I don't care about that. What are we going to do? I mean, we're right here in the garage this time. Another anxiety officer is bound to pass by and see us.
Yeah.
We'll probably be reported to the anxiety chief. Plus, we've got a patrol to beat. I mean, we've got a beat to patrol.
Yeah.
We've got to get into that car.
All right. Stand back, Frank.
Ken, what are you going to do with that rock?
My, teenage vandalism is certainly on the increase.
Yes, it is. All right, now, this time you hold on to the keys. Oh, okay?
Okay, sure thing, Frank. If I can only get the damn thing started.
Give it some gas.
There.
Whoops! You can start giving it the gas now, Ken!
All right, let's get moving already.
Yeah. Lord knows what kind of crimes are being committed out there already.
What time is it, Frank?
Well, it's after 11. Let's go over to the dormitories. I think there's some good parties going on now.
And you know what that means.
I sure do. Trouble. Of all kinds. Well, I'm ready for it.
So am I. Hey, did you see that car?
Yeah, sure did, Ken. Let's go get him.
Boy, I can't believe people actually have the gall to travel around in a car like that. They must think we're blind.
Okay. Stop it. Yeah, you take care of it, Ken. I'll cover you from behind.
All right. But how can you cover me? We're supposed to be unarmed.
Would you stop arguing and get over there?
Right. Okay, fella, what's the idea of driving around like that?
What do you mean, officer? What did I do?
Stop playing dumb. I'm on to your tricks. Now, what's the idea of having that sticker on the back of your car?
What sticker? All I have is a drive carefully, school's open sticker.
Oh, so you admit it. Okay, buddy, what school is open at this time of night? Come on. It's after 11 o'clock on a Friday night, and no school is open now. There's no two ways about it. You're exhibiting false information on your bumper.
Mm.
I'm going to have to give you a summons.
Oh, come on, officer. Give me a break. I only have one of those stickers. I mean, if I take it off every night, it'll lose its stickiness.
I'm sorry. Rules are rules. They cannot be broken. The entire American judicial system rests upon this premise. Without it, we're certainly lost. I'm glad I didn't back down on that perpetrator. He had that ticket coming to him.
Yeah, yeah, but I don't think you had to give him that 25-minute speech about the founding of America.
Well, I thought it was relevant, Frank.
Three cars passed by with their license plate lights burned out, and we missed them.
Oh, don't be such a grouch, Frank. There'll be plenty of violations tonight.
I know, but let's not waste so much time.
All right. Hey, do you want to drive for a while, Frank?
No, not really. Why? Do you feel tired?
No, I just want to play with the radio a little bit.
I'll take care of the radio. You keep driving.
All right. But, my God, do you see what I see?
Wow! That entire building is engulfed in flames. And look, there's a crowd of people with Molotov cocktails and firebombs and hand grenades. And another crowd next to them. They're looting and raping and pillaging. It looks like the entire building is being razed to the ground.
No, I mean next to that.
Oh, you mean the car that's parked on the grass.
You got it. Let's get over there now before it's too late.
I'm with you. You know, we don't miss a trick.
Just a couple of ordinary guys devoting their lives to keeping America's college campuses a little bit safer. You may be lucky enough to see them one day on your college campus. The men in brown, who call themselves campus anxiety. Campus anxiety is a fictional account. Any similarity to any person living, dead, or in between is totally uncoincidental.
Some music from Mike Oldfield. All right, here on USB.
The one and only.
The station that never stops.
Never stops. Never.
Ever.
Never lets up.
Never stops. The station that never stops. Did you say you had something that we're going to talk over?
Yes, I do, in fact. It's speaking of Walter Carlos. This is a little piece that I really like the way he does.
And you want us to talk over it?
Well, maybe talk under it a little bit.
Okay.
How's your week, Mike?
My week was okay. How was yours?
Yeah? Yeah. Well, it was okay, you know. It could have been a little bit better. It could have been a little worse.
Well,
this is ridiculous.
Yeah,
we couldn't hear ourselves. That's okay. How do you like that?
Yeah, that sounds... Well, it's still a little bit too loud. That's good. That's good. I'm sure that'll do.
So how was your week, Mike?
My week was very, very busy.
Yeah, you were working like 24 hours a day, weren't you?
Almost. No, not quite.
Oh.
But,
Yeah, I'm just getting...
more than I normally do.
Getting back to the old school grind after leaving the work grind.
Uh-huh.
And I'll tell you something, I like school a lot better than work.
Really?
Well, maybe that's kind of unusual, but
I like this
atmosphere a lot better.
I'd probably agree with you there, because I remember going to school and then going to work and saying, well, how come I wish I was back in school again. Well, I could actually at one point envision myself going to school for the rest of my life.
Yeah, you know, I'd like to figure out a way to do that. I guess be a teacher or something. That's one way of doing it.
Yeah. And now it's my turn to put music
on.
No,
Walter Carlos is still going on.
No.
Can't interrupt him. It's interesting, though. Outside in the world, in the working world, there's sort of an attitude that I've noticed. I noticed it today because I went back to the old place that I worked to pick up a couple of paychecks that
mm-hmm.
I hadn't gotten.
Ooh.
And there's some sort of a feeling in the air, sort of a sullen feeling that, well, you know, we're here working, we gotta do this, there's no point in arguing about it because it's got to be done. Just sort of a miserable type of a feeling, you know what I mean?
Well, you know, that's not necessarily true everywhere you work.
No, it's not. It doesn't have to be, but I find that attitude in most of the places that I have worked.
Well, that's because you've worked at dumpy places.
No, not really. I've worked some fairly nice places.
Like delivering ice cream, too.
Well, yeah, people have that attitude, though, about any type of a job, because a job is supposed to be like that. You're supposed to do something and make the money, and you really don't have much, you know, much say in it. Whereas school, you know, people have the same attitude about school, too, but you can do a lot more with it.
And you don't make any money.
You can't really get... Well, you can get fired, in a sense, if you're expelled or something.
Yeah, that's true. Well, you've got to be pretty bad to do that, I suppose.
It's a different attitude. I mean, on a college campus, you really have, I think, more than you're ever going to have at any one time.
That's true.
At your disposal.
Especially like last week with Fall Fest.
Oh, wow.
Whew. All that good music.
I couldn't believe that. I wonder if that's ever going to happen again on this campus.
How about next week?
Yeah. You want to plan one? Fine.
Sure.
I hope they get it together again, because the folks involved in that did a really fine job.
I missed the fireworks, but I heard them at home.
Yeah. Yeah, you live about how many miles away?
5, 10, I don't know.
They were loud fireworks.
And
you were listening to the radio, and you heard them first on the radio, and then at your house.
That's right, yes. Yes, it was very unique.
I can imagine.
Now I can just imagine hearing at home, trying to go to sleep, hearing a thunderstorm, seeing lightning, and then hearing it flash. Yeah, hearing the boom several seconds later, knowing that lightning was right over Stony Brook campus. You know, just by the length of the gap. But that's another thing we didn't have that many of this summer.
Well, I know. I was about to mention that. We didn't have practically any thunderstorms.
And that's a shame. What is a summer without thunderstorms?
It was interesting because once, I remember driving that limousine of mine in a blazing thunderstorm. I don't know if that's an appropriate adjective, but it seemed that way.
An extinguished thunderstorm.
Something like that.
Extinguishing thunderstorm.
I was on the north shore of Nassau County, and you know how it is over there with the houses. But the roads, too, are quite interesting sometimes. And on the torrential rainfalls, it's an experience, for sure. Thunder and lightning, I had about 6 people in the car.
Ooh.
One of these big, huge stretches that was, you know...
Oh, yeah.
The about kind, 6 miles to the gallon.
The kind that you really can't maneuver too well.
Yeah, exactly. But I was doing okay. I was going on this little two-lane highway, pelting rain and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Things went fine until I dropped off my first passenger, and then the car just
died?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that's a good adjective for it. We didn't get it to move again. It stayed there.
Uh-huh. I bet you didn't get any tips that day.
Well, it was hard. It was hard. I had to carry on a conversation for about 40 minutes before someone came and rescued me. And the thing with those modern cars that's so wonderful is that the back door doesn't open unless you have battery power, and I didn't have any. So the luggage was trapped inside the car. And, well, we had quite a time prying open the back door. No, it was a fun occasion.
Yeah, I'll bet it was.
You speak of thunderstorms, that's one I remember. In fact, that's the only one I remember this year.
Was it thunder in there?
Yeah, it was thundering and lightning and all that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm. I remember some torrential rains actually coming in where I work.
Ooh.
That's always fun.
Yeah, it is when it comes to greet you.
Yes, it is. This is the lab I work in, and it's supposed to be we have two labs. One is a dry process lab, and right next door is a wet process lab.
Wow.
And you see, it usually rains in the wet process lab.
As it should.
Hmm. Yeah, it's better than in the dryer lab, I suppose.
Yeah, that's true.
So, no, this past week has been very busy for me. Would you turn that down somewhat? Thank you.
It ended. I didn't turn it down.
Our company had its annual picnic this past Sunday, and it was an excellent affair.
Wow.
Really very nice.
Yeah.
Everybody showed up. Like 1,500 people down at Heckscher State Park.
1,500 people work for your corporation?
Well, some people brought their families and stuff.
And extended families and cousins.
Yeah, everything. Cousins three times removed. Could well be, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it was a fun fun little bash.
I've got a gripe to pick with somebody.
You don't pick gripes.
Well, I do something like that. It's something that I got in the mail today.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Now, I'm not going to throw accusations around yet before I have some substantial evidence, but I will tell you what I'm suspecting.
And what's that?
Well, I got a letter addressed to Mrs. Eric Corley. And as far as I know, she doesn't exist yet, but...
Oh, you're not married?
No, that was the first thing.
Uh-huh.
It was from a... Hello? Hello? Are you in space, Mike, or what?
Yeah.
Okay. It was about a rug cleaner or something like that, a vacuum cleaner salesman.
Well,
they're going by mail now with the vacuum cleaner sales.
You mean those vacuum cleaners that go for about $900?
Something like that. Yeah. Anyway, it was addressed, that's what got me, it was addressed to a female, you know, only a female can be interested in that type of thing, of course, so it has to, you know, that type of stuff. I didn't like that.
Were you interested in it at all?
No. Well, The only thing that caught my attention was the address was wrong by exactly five numbers. Now, it's always interesting, whenever you make a slight variation in the way you spell the street you're on, your last name, the number, things like that, whenever you do that, you can always find out who has given your address to someone else. Now, the only...
Yeah.
Oh, there you are.
Here I am.
The only other person, or rather, the only other people who had my address as that was the National Election Board.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, are they giving out addresses to vacuum cleaner salesmen? Something I'm going to look into in the next week. And, Mike, I'll have a report for you on that, I guess, next Friday. When the voice comes back. But where are you, Mike? Oh, there you are. Where are you wandering around the studio for like that?
There was somebody at the door. The doorbell was lighting up.
Oh.
Not there anymore. That's some nerve.
Hey.
Yes, Daddy.
Hey, leave my room alone, huh? No, but that's the way it looks right now. It's kind of a suspicious situation. I don't know if anybody else has ever had that happen to them, but it can be annoying when people give your address out to other people.
Yeah, that's some invasion of privacy.
It certainly is, but you can always have clues by, you know, making a slight variation in the way
that's
you spell the town.
That's right.
Zip code, that type of thing.
Like Prit Jefferson.
Yeah, right.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what you write as your last name. It's always going to get to you if it's your address.
Yeah, right.
So that's what happened to me. It happened to me today, in fact.
That's good. Well, now listen, let's enough of this banter. Let's get on to some serious music here.
Serious, you say?
Yeah. There's this album in here by this fellow, Joe Dolce.
Oops. Sorry about that.
And the album, of course, is his great hit. Shut Up Your Face.
A great hit, you say? Let's hear it.
No, the dial sound effect is coming up later, so don't worry about that. But anyway, he has this great hit called Shut Up Your Face or something like that. And there's this tune on here that it's called If You Want to Be Happy. And I just happened to bring in my... Well, we'll play the joke. Where are you... Are they walking out on this?
Be back in a minute.
We'll play the Joe Dolce version first, and then we'll play a much better version. Right here on USB, Radio Free Weekend,
the voice of Long Island.
If you want to be happy for the rest of your life, never make a pretty woman your wife. So for my personal point of view, get another girl to marry you.
Pretty woman got a pretty face, attracts attention going every place. When she walks, she makes the men all moan. Pretty soon, a pretty cunyara alone.
If you want to be happy for the rest of your life, never make a pretty woman your wife. So for my personal point of view, get another girl to marry you.
Cause a big fat woman keep you warm at home. Lots of meat shaking under the bone. When she throws the big leg on you, all night long and make a dream come true.
If you want to be happy for the rest of your life, never make a pretty woman your wife. So for my personal point of view, get another girl to marry you.
Piano solo! Not bad. Next time, try two fingers. Accordion, quick! That's my kind of music. Clap of the hand, Eric. All right. Okay, clap of the hand, everybody. Little bit of Italian philosophy. If you want to be happy for the rest of your life, don't make no fancy woman in your wife. Oh, no.
If you want to be happy for the rest of your life, never make a pretty woman your wife. So for my personal point of view, get another girl to marry you.
Cause a fancy woman got a fancy head.
She spend all the day fixing up the face. Why she got to use so much powder and paste? When she kiss you, it's a funny taste.
If you want to be happy for the rest of your life, never make a pretty woman your wife. So for my personal point of view, get another girl to marry you. If you want to be happy for the rest of your life,
you wanna be happy for the rest of your life. Never make a pretty woman your wife. So for my present of one of you, get another girl to marry you.
Hey, man.
Hey, baby.
I saw your wife the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's ugly.
Yeah, she's ugly, but she's ugly and cook, baby.
Well, with us in our studios tonight is Professor Darryl Jones from the University of Illinois at Champaign-Urbana, where he has been... Mr. Jones? What happened to him?
I'm right over here, Mike. I'm right over here. I'm sorry. I was getting some of your marvelous Long Island water. You know, the water in Illinois is always so so warm, and, and sometimes it's brown.
Oh, is that a fact? Well...
Ah, this is good stuff.
Yeah, well, we'll have to send out a Radio Free Weekend investigation teams into that one.
Yeah, you know, you should do that.
Yeah, but right now we're talking about this idea you've come up with in your laboratory out there.
Oh, yes. Well, before you go any further, I wanted to make one small correction. You said my last name was Jones.
Yes.
It's actually Joan without the S.
Oh, I see. J-O-A-N?
No, it's J-O-N-E. We dropped the S in 1952 so that we would be ahead of all the other Joneses in the phone book.
Oh. Well, all right. Anyhow, Professor Darryl Joan of the University of Illinois at Champaign-Urbana has been doing some research over there, and he's come up with this this idea, a marvelous invention that's going to make everybody's life just a little bit easier. And, well, why don't you just tell us all about it?
That'd be nice, Mike. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now... Not only will this new invention simplify life for everybody, but it'll also eliminate some unnecessary jobs, sort of like what President Reagan's trying to do.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. That's commendable. I bet the current administration would be very interested in what you're doing.
Oh, they are. I've already contacted them.
Tickle Pink?
Yeah, we're going to be working together on this project.
Oh, well, what wasteful position are you going to cut out? Some corporate executive, vice presidential, custodian assistant, or something?
No, not quite, Mike. The position is one which every one of us sees in action every day.
Well, we're all waiting. What is it?
Oh, it's grocery cart collectors.
Grocery cart collectors?
That's right. Now, every shopping center in America employs them to simply go out into the parking lot and bring back the grocery carts that the customers leave out there. Now, I estimate that the total cost to keep this process going exceeds $47 billion annually.
Sounds like a big waste.
Yeah, and I think that money would do better in our defense budget.
Really? But, well, what's your alternative? I mean, if we didn't have these people, we'd really be stuck. Americans are basically lazy. They don't want to take their carts back themselves. We probably wouldn't be able to move our cars to the parking lot because all these grocery carts would be just like flooding the parking lot.
It is a major problem. Now, everybody's aware of that. But I can assure you, my invention will put an end to it.
And that is?
That is to magnetize supermarkets.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, could you go into that a little bit more?
Certainly, Mike. Now, my invention utilizes an alternative method of getting grocery carts back to the supermarket, namely the pull of magnetic power. Now, as I already mentioned, the supermarket or department store or whatever would be magnetized by simply attaching a large magnetic plate to the front of the store.
I see, where the shopping carts are usually left.
Precisely. Now, each individual grocery cart would then have a little switch on it, which would either be on or off. Now, when the shopper brings his groceries out to the car and finishes loading them, he would flip the switch into the on position, activating the magnet on the front of the grocery cart. The cart would then go hurtling across the parking lot and come to rest on the magnetic plate in front of the store.
Wow.
And when a shopper wants to reuse the grocery cart, the first thing he would do is turn the switch to off. This deactivates the magnet, and the shopper would then be able to gain control of the shopping cart and bring it into the store and purchase whatever he wanted, and probably at a reduced rate because the store would no longer have to pay the person who finds all the shopping carts.
Hmm. That is something you've got there, Professor Joan. I can almost picture it now, but what about all the cars in the parking lot? I mean, it's hard enough avoiding people and little children and other cars and those little cute little trees that they put up in the little islands there.
Yeah.
But what's a motorist expected? How is he going to dodge all these unmanned grocery carts?
Well, they'll have to keep their eyes open. That's all there is to it, Mike. You could consider it a sort of alertness test.
And how fast do the carts go?
Well, I would say they could probably get up to a good 60 or 70 miles per hour, depending on distance.
So if a motorist or even a pedestrian isn't really paying attention, they'd be in for quite a surprise.
Oh, you live and learn, Mike. That's what it's all about.
Something I just thought of might be a bit of a problem.
Oh?
Yeah. Now, supposing there was another supermarket or a department store in the same shopping center.
Uh-huh.
Now, if one magnet was stronger than the other one and somehow it accidentally got disconnected, what would happen? What would stop one store from gaining all the shopping carts from the other? I can just see a crowd of shopping carts, maybe 100 of them, going from one end of the supermarket, smashing into cars and people on the way to the other magnetic plate.
Yeah, well, we have thought of all that already, Mike, so you don't have to worry. Now, you know how a magnet can be both positive and negative?
Yeah.
Well, a solution to the point you brought up would be to have one store be positive and the other negative. Not only would the cart know which store to go to, but if a customer tried to bring one store's shopping cart to a different store, the positive forces would repel the negative and the cart would fly back into his face.
Well, that's simply amazing, Professor, and it takes care of something that I always was annoyed about. It's kind of being embarrassed when I push one supermarket's cart into another supermarket.
No, you're not the only one, Mike.
I'll bet.
And we're hoping to take this a few steps further and eventually have a different channel for each store. The range would then be virtually unlimited.
Oh, I see. So, like, each individual store in a shopping center could have their own code.
Precisely.
So you could take delis would have, and, like, little boutiques.
Supermarkets, Chinese restaurants,
and they'd have
drug
their own
stores.
Shopping carts.
Somebody could, under this system, take a shopping cart home, and it would even manage to find its way back to the store that it came from once the switch was put into the on position.
I see. It sounds like this could be the most important invention of the 1980s.
Oh, why, thank you.
Well, tell me, have there been any problems with it? I mean, there must have been some.
Well, we have been using this on a trial basis in a few supermarkets in Champaign and Urbana. For the most part, though, it worked all right, but there were a few problems.
Oh?
Yeah, like the time a kid was sitting on the little seat, you know, in the grocery cart inside the store.
With his legs hanging out?
Yes, and he flicked the switch on and activated the magnet.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, the cart took off in the frozen food section and went straight through the plate glass window. It came to rest just like it was supposed to against a magnet. But
it had to go through the window to do that.
Yes, it did. In that case, the magnet should not have been turned on, obviously.
Anybody hurt?
Luckily, nobody was hurt, but there were a couple of $100 worth of damage.
Oh, boy.
Which we had to pay for, too. But we are clearing the field of those little difficulties. We're thinking of installing a system where the switch could not be turned on from inside the store. It would sort of cancel itself out.
Oh, I see. So there would be all sorts of electromagnetic pulses inside the
Precisely.
Store.
Precisely. It could be quite a sophisticated system.
Oh. Well,
in the long run.
Well, I wish you the best of luck and success with your latest invention.
Why, thank you. And I hope we bring the system out to a shopping center near you so you can demonstrate it for yourself.
Okay. Well, when you do that, we'll have to have you up here again.
Thank you.
Okay, good night.
Do you mind if I take some of this water with me?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Well, don't spill it, though. Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Goodbye.
Glad all of us, baby, I'm glad all of us, glad all of us, glad all of us. we've all seen Mickey Mouse in some of the millions of cartoons he's made, right from the 20s down through to his own television show. But we never found out who he really is. Well, thanks to our hard-hitting investigative reporting, we can bring you the true story. Mickey was the son of a poor sharecropper and grew up in their rundown log cabin in Newark, New Jersey. He and his 97 brothers and sisters were all victims of mouse abuse. At the age of 12, he ran away from home and had to sell matches in the snow for a few scraps of Swiss cheese. Tired of freezing his tail off, he hitched a ride out to California and wound up working for a tuba player carrying his instrument around. When his employer died suddenly, Mickey took the tuba and played it himself. It was during a stint in a studio orchestra when Walt Disney discovered him. His amazing success is well documented. His bouts with drugs, alcohol, leather, and pufferfish toxin are another story. Disney spent millions keeping those stories out of the press, as well as all his illegitimate children. But through it all, he never played with blasting caps and was a model citizen. So remember, kids, keep your nose clean, or the next Spunky and Spunky report could be about you.
Yeah, we wouldn't want that to happen, would we, Eric?
I'm sorry, were you talking to me?
Yes, I was talking to you, in fact. No, we wouldn't want that to happen, would we?
No, we wouldn't.
All right.
I was reading a book, I'm sorry.
What book were you reading?
Well, we won't get into that.
Okay, fine. It's a good thing this isn't television. It is Saturday morning, a little after 7. No, 7 after 1.
Yeah.
Oh. Will you watch your step in there, please?
Oh, boy, Frank's going to be angry.
Oh, who cares?
That was his.
The condition he was in last night, he wouldn't be able to tell the difference. He probably could have. We could tell him he did it last night, and he'd believe it.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay, well, here we are. It's 6 minutes after 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
The voice of Long Island is underway. It's been underway for about over an hour now.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got a lot more good things coming at you. If you want to give us a call with any suggestions, comments, things like that, our number is area code 516-246-7901. And call it now.
Yeah.
Lines happen to be open.
Yeah, but we're busy talking on it. It's the only thing.
So you won't get an answer right away until we shut up.
Yeah, but keep trying. Say, you know, I have a page of a Norwalk telephone book in here.
Oh, yes. Well, this is... We were talking before. We mentioned that we would have some news about Stony Brook and Stony Brook. So why don't we discuss what the other half of that meant?
Oh, you mean the and Stony Brook?
Yeah.
Well, you tell me.
Okay, well, we are talking about Stony Brook, this Stony Brook, throughout the show. We mentioned various things. But we found out sometime during the week that there is another...
Yes. Stony Brook.
Another Stony Brook.
In Connecticut.
In Connecticut, of all places.
No, you have to say Connecticut.
Now, Connecticut.
Right, that's good.
Okay. Now, I believe... Are you able to contact an information operator in Connecticut now?
I don't know if I'd be able to.
Why don't you see?
Do you want me to? No, all right. I'll pull the speaker down. How about if you use that, you get a better connection if you use the setup in there.
All right, let me see if it's working.
Well, the light goes on, and let's see. It must be working, because Eric must be dialing right now.
No, it's not. We'll fix that later on.
Oh, I guess it's not working.
Well, that's part of the story.
Go on.
If if you call an information operator up in Connecticut and ask her if there is indeed a Stony Brook, she will say yes. However, we, earlier, Ray Katz, who is a veteran newscaster here at the station...
And a deep investigative reporter as well.
And he did some investigating.
Uh-huh.
And he looked for a place called Stony Brook in Connecticut. He called up the Westport Chamber of Commerce, which is the nearest place to Stony Brook. And, well, maybe, Mike, you can tell us something about what went on. Mike? Hello, Mike.
Eric, yeah. I'll be right with you.
Oh, okay. Excuse me if I'm keeping you from something. Dum 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 dum.
I'm back.
Well, thank you.
Yes, I have a gentleman on hold right now who's saying that there is a Stony Creek.
I know that. Everybody knows that.
And he's calling from Stony Creek.
Oh.
Or Clinton, which is two towns away.
Okay, that's very nice, but...
I'm going to talk to him while you talk to the folks at home.
Wait a minute. You have the information in there.
Okay, I'll bring it in to you then.
I don't believe this.
Why don't you just... I'll be right back.
I can't believe this. What radio program on any station would suddenly lose somebody because somebody calls up on the telephone? I don't believe it. I don't believe it.
Yeah, but he's calling long distance.
He's calling long distance. Wowee. Okay, I'll do it myself. All right. Here's what Ray Katz found out for us. Now, we do some serious investigation on these things. A couple of weeks ago, called up a few Long Islands. There are other Long Islands, in case you weren't listening. There's one in New Hampshire. There's one, I believe, in Tennessee. And there are others, too, that we didn't get to yet, but we did speak to people in both of those. We are looking now for another Stony Brook. And we don't expect it to be similar to this one. Now, we have the front page, or one of the front... Yeah, page one of the Westport telephone book. And it says quite clearly and distinctly... a listing of localities, and one of them is Stony Brook, and it's listed under Westport. So according to the telephone book in Westport, there is a place called Stony Brook. So what we did was we called the Chamber of Commerce in Westport, and they had never heard of Stony Brook. They've heard of us. They never heard of Stony Brook, Connecticut. Interesting. What it turns out to be is that Stony Brook is a small road comprised of 10 to 12 houses. I don't know where the idea was gotten that there is another Stony Brook in Connecticut, but according to the Chamber of Commerce that is located very near to that spot, it doesn't exist. They were very unfamiliar with it and surprised to discover it was listed as a locality in Westport. And not only that, the Times World Index Gazetteer says that there is only one Stony Brook in the world. And that's what we found out here. If anybody out there, anywhere, can prove to us that another Stony Brook exists, we'll offer them a cash reward. And yes, we've done this before. We will back it up. A cash reward goes to a person who finds another Stony Brook. Not a road, but a town, village, anything. County, state, country, you name it. 2467901 is our phone number, area code 516. We tried to find out all we could about this. We hoped to get a live interview with somebody there, but the place didn't exist, so we couldn't do it. A little later on, we'll try to contact an information operator in Connecticut and see if they still insist on telling people that there's a Stony Brook in Connecticut, and see what else we can uncover.
I found out something about Stony Creek.
Well, okay, but it's not really relevant, Mike, is it?
Yes, it is. Yeah, of course it is. There's
Stony Creek has nothing to do with Stony Brook, and I don't care what you say.
Well, you remember when we were talking to the lady from Long Island? She knew there was a Stony Creek.
Everybody knows there was a Stony Creek. I even know there's a Stony Creek in Connecticut.
Uh-huh. Well, listen, are you about done? Well, let me just tell you about...
I'm about done. In fact, I'm leaving right now.
Okay, well... apparently, from what I hear, Stony Creek is a very exclusive area. It's loaded with musicians and artists. It's right on Long Island Sound, and it's got good shellfish and a very classy place, according to one who should know, someone who lives right up the road from there. And so that's Stony Creek. It is always good to hear from the folks in Connecticut, and... you know, it's more expensive to call from Connecticut, obviously, but you're
Mike,
worth it. Yes.
How did you know there was a Connecticut telephone call when the line was ringing?
That gentleman who just called.
Yeah, you obviously knew when you picked it up that was Connecticut. The way you rushed over to it.
I didn't.
You don't rush over to every telephone like that.
Well, you just rushed to that one that just called. Who was that?
Oh, that was.
That was local?
Local, very local.
What, campus? No,
maybe even downstairs.
Well, I saw the phone ringing, and I figured, well, I'll do my best to answer it, even though we were talking. And I'm glad I did, too, because I had a nice little chat with a gentleman from Connecticut.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So, all right, do you want to get into some music?
I think so. In fact, something I'd like to hear. I told the folks that we would be calling an information operator in Connecticut after this tune,
mm-hmm.
To see if they still insist on telling that. But I would feel like hearing something by...
Well, we'll do that in just a second, but let's tell the folks what we have coming up.
That's...
Okay.
How about some Gil Scott-Heron? Do you have any of that?
Yeah, we do have that.
Oh!
How about if we... Before we get into that, though, how about if we just say that the tripods are coming up?
Oh, yes, the tripods. Last week's episode that was preempted is now this week's episode, and it will be coming up, well, I guess about 15 minutes or so.
Something like that, yeah.
Something
like
that.
So stay tuned to Radio Free Weekend, the voice... of Long Island.
Well, you never know what can happen next.
And Southern Connecticut. Oh, my God.
Well, the first thing I want to say is, mandate my ass. Because it seems as though we've been convinced that 26% of the registered voters, not even 26% of the American people, but 26% of the registered voters form a mandate or a landslide. 21% voted for Skippy and 3-4% voted for somebody else who might have been running. But oh yeah, I remember in this year that we have now declared the year from Shogun to Reagan, I remember what I said about Reagan. Minute. Acted like an actor. Hollywood. Acted like a liberal. Acted like General Franco when he acted like governor of California. Then he acted like a Republican. Then he acted like somebody was going to vote for him for president. And now we act like 26% of the registered voters is actually a mandate. We're all actors in this, I suppose. What has happened is that in the last 20 years, America has changed from a producer to a consumer. And all consumers know that when the producer names the tune, the consumer has got to dance. That's the way it is. We used to be a producer. Very inflexible at that, and now we are consumers and finding it difficult to understand. Natural resources and minerals will change your world. The Arabs used to be in the third world. They have bought the second world and put a firm down payment on the first one. Controlling your resources will control your world. This country has been surprised by the way the world looks now. They don't know if they want to be Matt Dillon or Bob Dylan. They don't know if they want to be diplomats or continue the same policy of nuclear nightmare diplomacy. John Foster Dulles ain't nothing but the name of an airport now. The idea concerns the fact that this country wants nostalgia. They want to go back as far as they can, even if it's only as far as last week. Not to face now or tomorrow, but to face backwards. And yesterday was the day of our cinema heroes riding to the rescue at the last possible moment. The day of the man in the white hat or the man on the white horse. Or the man who always came to save America at the last moment. Someone always came to save America at the last moment. Especially in B-movies. And when America found itself having a hard time facing the future, they looked for people like John Wayne. But since John Wayne was no longer available, they settled for Ronald Reagan. And it has placed us in a situation that we can only look at like a B-movie. Come with us back to those inglorious days when heroes weren't zeros, before fair was square, when the cavalry came straight away and all American men were like Hemingway, to the days of the wondrous B-movie. Producer underwritten by all the millionaires necessary will be Casper the Defensive Winebreaker. No more animated choice is available. The director will be Attila the Hague, running around frantically declaring himself in control and in charge. The ultimate realization of the inmates taking over at the asylum. The screenplay will be adapted from the book called Voodoo Economics by George Papadoc Bush. Music by the village people, the very military, macho man. song for saber rattling and selling wars door to door. Remember, we're looking for the closest thing we can find to John Wayne. The shades abound like kangaroos, courtesy of some spaced out Marlon Perkins, a Ray Gun contemporary. The shades like itchy trigger finger and tall in the saddle and riding off or on into the sunset. Clichés like, get off of my planet by sundown. More so than clichés like, he died with his boots on. Marine tough to man is, Bogart tough to man is, Cagney tough to man is, Hollywood tough to man is, cheap steak tough, and Donzo substantial. The ultimate in synthetic selling, a Madison Avenue masterpiece, a miracle, a cotton candy politician, presto macho. Put your orders in, America, and quick as Kodak, your leaders duplicate with the accent being on the dupes. Because all of a sudden we have fallen prey to selective amnesia, remembering what we want to remember and forgetting what we choose to forget. All of a sudden the man who called for a bloodbath on our college campuses is supposed to be Dudley goddamn Do-Right. You go give them liberals hell, Ronnie. That was the mandate to the new Captain Bly on the new ship of fools. It was doubtlessly based on his chameleon performance in the past as a liberal Democrat, as the head of the Studio Actors Guild, when other celluloid saviors were cringing in terror from McCarthy, Ron stood tall. It goes all the way back from Hollywood to Hillbilly, from liberal to libelous, from Bonzo to Birchite, or born again. Civil rights, women's rights, gay rights, it's all wrong. Call in the cavalry to disrupt this perception of freedom gone wild. God damn it, first one wants freedom, then the whole damn world wants freedom. No challenge, that's what we want. The good old days, when we gave them hell. When the buck stopped somewhere and you could still buy something with it. To a time when movies was in black and white, and so was everything else. Even if we go back to the campaign trail, before six-gun Ron shot off his face and developed hoof and mouth. Before the free press went down before full court press and were reluctant to view the menu because they knew the only thing available was Crow. Lon Chaney, our man of thousand faces. No match for Ron. Doug Henning does the makeup. Special effects from Grecian Formula 16 and Crazy Glue. Transportation furnished by the David Rockefeller Remote Control Company. Their slogan is, why wait for 1984? You can panic now and avoid the rush. So much for the good news. As Wall Street goes, so goes the nation. And here's a look at the closing numbers. Racism is up. Human rights are down. Peace is shaky. War items are hot. The house claims all time. Jobs are down. Money is scarce. And common sense is at an all-time low in heavy trading. Movies were looking better than ever. And now no one is looking because we're starring in a B-movie. And we would rather have John Wayne. We would rather have. You don't need to be in no hurry. You ain't never really got to worry. And you don't need to check on how you feel. Just keep repeating that none of this is real. And if you're sensing that something's wrong, well, just remember that it won't be too long before the director sets the scene. Yeah.
multi-talented Gil Scott Heron. It's off his new album, which is called Reflections. And it's, well, his view of, through mirrored glasses, his view of the world and that kind of thing.
You really like that song, don't you, Mike?
Yes, I really do.
What do you see in it?
I see a lot in it.
Yeah.
It's very topical right now. Let's just say that.
Very current, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
This guy, Gil Scott Heron, this is the only Gil Scott Heron album that I have. In fact, I don't even have it yet, but I'm going to buy it.
Uh-huh.
And, but the guy is a genius. He really is. And there's some other good songs he does, like 1980 and a couple other ones. Johannesburg. You familiar with any of his stuff?
I'm familiar with a few of his earlier pieces. I haven't listened to this album.
Angel Dust, another one.
Yeah.
Very political, very political.
Oh, he always has been.
Yeah, I'm sure he always will be.
Just ask Mark Stern about him. That's where I really first learned about Gil Scott Heron.
That's true.
Mark Stern.
Mark Stern has got to be the number one Gil Scott Heron fan of the station.
He interviewed him about a year or so ago.
That's right. That's very true. And, you know, lucky bum Mark was.
Yeah, I'll say.
But,
Mike, I'm going to call up
the
information over in Connecticut.
Well, why don't you do that? I'll just explain what you're doing.
Okay, and I'll give you a honk on the horn when I'm ready.
Okay, fine.
Okay?
Alrighty. Well, now, if you just tuned in, you're tuned to Radio Free Weekend, the station that never stops. the voice of Long Island, we're looking for another Stony Brook. Eric's calling up information in Connecticut because... Okay, I guess he's ready.
What's your name, please?
Yes, is this Connecticut?
Yes, sir.
Do you, in fact, have a town up there that's called Stony Brook?
Stony Brook?
Yeah.
Have to check.
Thank you.
Yes, we do, sir.
You do. I see. Can you possibly tell me anything about it at all?
I can't tell you anything about it. It's in the Westport listings, but I mean, that's all I know. But I have no idea.
But it is definitely a town of some sort.
Stony Brook is a town, so that's all I can tell you. I have no idea anything else about it.
Okay. All right, thank you, sir. Good night.
Well, there you have it.
Well, Mike.
There you have it.
You heard it for yourself.
He says Stony Brook is a town.
We just proved him otherwise, but they insist on, on still...
A live scandal.
Yeah, yeah. We're going to do some more investigating into this, folks.
Really?
Connecticut does not have a Stony Brook, okay? You folks can't have one. We've got it here, okay? That's as simple as that. You got a Stony Creek, you can have that. No Stony Brook.
Okay. Okay, now Ray Katz did Investigation. Investigations. Now, what did he come up with? He came up with that there's no Stony Brook elsewhere in the world.
In the world. He looked in the Times World Index Gazetteer. Have you ever seen that book, Mike?
No, but I can imagine it's very comprehensive just by the name of it.
It's very, very heavy, and they have every little town there possibly could be.
You know...
They have this Stony Brook.
Is there a Stony Brook in this Stony Brook?
Oh, is there a Stony Brook, you mean?
Yeah, a brook.
That they named it after.
Stony, yeah.
I think there was at one point. Then they
really?
Built a road or something. There probably are a couple little ones.
Since you used to live in Fort Jeff at one point, do you know what the original name of Fort Jefferson was?
Drowned Meadow.
You do know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not totally ignorant on that.
Yeah, that's very amazing. A little geography lesson from your folks.
Everybody's heard the legend of Drowned Meadow.
Tell me. I haven't.
Oh. No, I just assumed there was one. I didn't know you'd show me up like that. It sounds so quaint and eloquent, a legend of Drowned Meadow.
Then there must be a legend of Stony Brook as well.
It'd be a good name for a Sherlock Holmes story, wouldn't it?
The Legend of Drowned Meadow. Anyway, dial a sound effect is coming.
Trouble with those bells, I believe.
I'll say.
I don't know where they recorded that. It's an interesting combination, though.
Sounds like the kind of thing Gary Pecorino would play.
Probably. Now, you have some Bob Marley, I believe.
Yes, I do, and right after Bob Marley comes...
The Tripods. Album is that off of, Mike?
Natty Dread.
A good one.
Aua.
We have some information about the old Stony Brook, I understand.
Yes,
true.
Yes, in fact, we do have one of the station staff members, Steve Specht. You're on the line, right, Steve?
Right.
Hey.
Come on in and go ahead. Tell us about the original Stony Brook.
Okay, I'm going to tell you about the original Stony Brook.
All right.
The original Stony Brook is, well, it's right now dammed up. But before 1699, it was an actual Stony Brook.
Uh-huh.
Started from the point where the Stony Brook grist mill pond is, you know, where all the ducks are. You go there and feed the ducks on the Sunday.
They're
fat in there, don't want to eat anymore by then.
Yeah.
But there are 7 springs in that area, and they all feed the actual Stony Brook, which used to run straight down into the Stony Brook Harbor.
Yeah.
But right now, well, since 1699, when the Stony Brook grist mill was built, they had the Stony, they built the dam there, but it used to be go straight down into the harbor, and that was the actual Stony Brook.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, 1699, they built the Stony Brook Grist Mill, and that changed it from a brook. It was no longer a brook. It was a pond. And, well, for a while it was a brook again when the dam washed out in 1750.
Oh, no.
And so for then it washed free for a while, and then they rebuilt in 1752. They rebuilt the Stony Brook Grist Mill and the Stony Brook dam that goes along with it, and so now it's no longer a real Stony Brook, but it's a pond with the brook leading down to the Stony Brook Harbor.
Now, Steve, the question I have is, why did they dam up the Stony Brook anyway?
Because you need backwater for a mill.
Oh.
And to have a mill in the area, so, because other than that, well, before the mill was in existence, they had to take it to Connecticut to get ground up and bring it back.
Uh-huh.
Three people died on one trip where there was a storm or something, and three people died, and including the son of the miller that built the original mill. And so at that point, they decided they had to have a mill in the area, so
mm-hmm.
they built the Stony Brook Grist Mill and dammed the actual Stony Brook.
Oh, I see. Now, and it washed out when, in 1750?
In 1750.
Uh-huh.
It was rebuilt in 1752.
I see. And you say this pond is fed by seven springs.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Say, there's a bit of history that you didn't know, Eric.
I didn't know that.
Eric didn't know that. Now, Steve, now I know why you know all this stuff, but the folks at home don't know why. Can you tell us?
Well, because I work at the Stony Brook Grist Mill, which is a very worthwhile thing. Anybody who wants to see history in the making, go down to the Stony Brook Grist Mill on Sundays 1 to 4. It's open,
uh-huh.
And you can go see the actual mill running from the water, running over the overshot wheel, and you can see corn getting ground up, and it's only like a quarter or something ridiculous like that, and you can go in there and see the whole old equipment running and everything. It's very worthwhile.
That's great. And can you actually get stuff ground up, or do they let you take stuff, or?
Well, the thing is, it's not certified by the Board of Health. If we were to certify it by the Board of Health, we'd have to replace all the old wooden containers and everything like that, and replace them with stainless steel.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, then it's not authentic anymore. So then it's not worth, you know, replacing all the old stuff to make it so we can sell the grain that we grind up. So we have to, you know, we can't sell it.
Yeah, yeah, I see what you mean.
But if we did sell it, it wouldn't be authentic. You know,
uh-huh.
it's one or the other, so we decided to keep it authentic.
That's
much.
Good. I think that's about the best way of doing business.
Yeah, well, they can also work something where you give them the grain and they give you a dollar donation. You give them a dollar donation, you know, you can do it that way.
Yeah.
But we really don't do it because, you know, we run the mill once a week, and, you know, in between that time there are animals running around, so you really don't want to eat that.
Yeah, that's true. Say, now, what happens in the wintertime when the pond and all that freezes up? Does it run in the winter?
No, it doesn't run in the winter, but it is no problem with freezing. There's no problem with like expanding and crushing the mill or anything. It's not going to knock the dam over or
uh-huh.
anything. It's not a problem. We just put it into. There are certain things you have to do in the winter, putting heavy oil in the bearings and stuff like that, and
right.
It's not. You know, it just doesn't run. It's
uh-huh.
a lot of stupid, pretty much.
Yeah. I see. Well, thank you for that very interesting explanation of...
Hey, now you know about the original Stony Brook.
Yeah. Thank you, Steve.
Okay.
Yes. Okay, thanks for calling, Steve. And
I'll see if you can find something about, like, maybe Rocky Point or Selden. See if anybody can tell you an original thing about that.
We'll hit a town each week.
Yes, we will get a town each week. And I think next week we're going to try Shelter Island.
Shelter Island, yeah.
Yeah, we're probably going to go out there this weekend just to check it out.
How about New York?
Well,
that's one I haven't thought about for a while.
Yeah,
what happened to Old York?
That's over in England, isn't it?
Well, that's regular York.
Yeah,
well,
they call it Old
York. And there's a regular York in Pennsylvania as well.
Really? I thought it was the original York was from Holland.
Oh, no. Well, listen, Steve, we've had about enough of this lessons we can take from
today. You've
had
enough.
I've had enough.
Yeah, but I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Okay, I get it.
Let's
wait for the tripods. I'm hanging out for the tripods.
Okay, good. So everybody can go to sleep after the tripods, right?
Yeah. Tell them to wait for Bunky and Spunky, you know?
Yeah, Bunky and Spunky will be up again, too.
Okay, that's good.
Okay, thanks for calling, Steve.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I wish you wouldn't do that.
Well, we just did, anyway.
Well, Mike, that was certainly interesting, and I was just thinking,
Ooh.
I don't want to talk about it.
All right.
Okay.
Now, I was just thinking, now, when was Stony Brook originally named back? 1699 or something like
1690,
that?
1690, I believe you said. That's the original Stony Brook.
Just think of it. These people come along, and they see a little brook, and they say, well, this is a Stony Brook. And 300 years later,
you know, I have some
college campus is known around the world by its name, Stony Brook, because of that. And the Stony Brook doesn't even exist anymore. It's really fascinating, though.
That's true. It's probably the brook that used to be the brook is now that pond. And it's probably not many stones left in it.
A lot of turtles, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I saw a big turtle once. He was eating a fish. I don't know how he caught it because he was so slow.
Well, they look like rocks, you see.
Yeah, that's true.
And then they just...
They're not rocks.
Yeah.
Fish learns that pretty quickly.
Yeah. Well, by then it's too late.
He was a powerful thing. I mean, he was ripping that fish in two when he could find it. I mean, he kept dropping it. All sorts of flora and fauna down there at the Stony Brook Mill Pond.
Oh, yeah.
By where Stony Brook is. Now I know where it is. And that's right by head of the harbor, too.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
That's another week coming up. But next week we will have Shelter Island and Greenport, right?
Okay, we're going out to Greenport and Shelter Island over the weekend. Is that true?
Yes, with a mutual friend of ours.
Okay, now if there's anybody out there in either Greenport or Shelter Island who is listening to us now, maybe you'd like to give us a tour of your town.
Yeah, we're going to be coming out on the train on Sunday.
Yeah, and you could show us some things, get your voice on the radio, that type of thing. If there's a town you'd like us to visit, give us a call, please. We'll be happy to do it for you.
246-7901.
Yeah. Area code 516.
Right.
The Voice of Long Island. And we'll go anywhere on Long Island just to say we were there.
Yeah.
Do you know, Mike, what we're about to get into the tripods any second now, but
yeah,
I was just wondering if you knew what a viscount is.
V-I-S-C-O-U-N-T?
Yes.
You mean Viscount?
Is that how they pronounce it?
Uh-huh.
Okay, I knew I was messing something up here.
Yeah.
What is it?
I don't know.
You don't know. Well, one is about to pass by right now, so I think you better take a look and find out what it is.
Oh, it's a jet.
Oh, we're going to get into the tripods right after the Viscount goes by. See you later.
Bye.
Radio Free Long Island by Duplex Conglomeration with the Three Village Tobacco Farms proudly presents the authentic adventures of the Tripod family, the continuing saga of one of America's most illustrious families in their struggle to find peace and happiness in the suburbs of Long Island. Last week, our friends hadn't quite decided on where to spend their much-needed vacation. We join them now in Charlie's front yard as we hear Kathy say...
Well, now look at this, Howard.
What is it, Kathy?
Well, remember you were talking about Bolivia having two capitals before?
Yeah.
Well, look at the Netherlands over here in Europe.
Well, I'll be. They have two capitals over there, too.
That's right. And they have one called The Hague and another one called Amsterdam.
That's not all, folks.
What do you mean, Charlie? There are three capitals?
No. I'm afraid it's a lot more serious than that, Kathy. The country itself has two different names.
What?
It's true, Kathy. You can call it the Netherlands, and you can also call it Holland.
You can? Oh, I know they can't get away with that. Two capitals is bad enough, but two different names for the same place.
Well, just wait a minute, Kathy. Now, look at our own country. Okay, now, you can call it the United States.
That's over here on this page.
Right. Okay, there it is. The United States, you can call it that, or you can also call it America, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of the same thing, isn't it?
Well, no, Howard, it's totally different. The United States of America is all one name. I mean, you wouldn't go saying the United Holland of the Netherlands, could you? Well,
no.
Can you?
I think she's right, Howard.
Of course I'm right. And those people can't get away with what they're doing. I'll see to that.
Well, now, wait. Let's not get too involved in this. I mean, we're just trying to go on a vacation.
Wait a minute. What language do they speak over there?
Where?
Is it called Hollish? Or Netherlandese?
I think they speak Dutch, Kathy.
Dutch? Well, why in the world don't they call it Dutchland? That would solve all their problems.
That does make sense.
Except for the two capitals and all.
Yeah. Well, you know, Kathy, I think if you say Dutchland, or... No, wait a minute. Maybe it's Deutschland. Yeah, if you say that, then you're talking about Germany. But I think you have to be speaking German when you say it.
Well, why don't we just go down to Australia? I mean, everything's so nice and simple over there. They speak English, right?
Yeah.
And there aren't any wars going on right now, right?
Yeah, that's right.
The climate's comfortable.
Well, no, wait a minute, Kathy. There's one thing I don't think you're going to like about Australia. Here, take a look.
What's that, Charlie?
Well, Australia is the name of the continent. See, but it's also the name of the country, too.
No. Who are you trying to kid, Charlie?
Yeah, he's right, Kathy. I heard the same thing. Oh, I'm sorry. I ripped the United States right in half.
Oh, Howard, that was Charlie's atlas.
That's okay, folks. Don't worry about it.
I got
a map inside.
We'll repay you. Don't worry. Just put it on our bill.
But what I was saying, Kathy, it's like if there was a country called Europe right inside the continent.
Oh, well, that's just too much. It's getting so you can't go anywhere anymore without getting thoroughly confused.
Yeah, I know what you mean, Kathy. This is getting very frustrating. I mean, we've been looking for over 2 hours.
Yeah, I mean, isn't it
to find a place to go on vacation? And every place, we've hit every continent now.
That's right. All we want to do is just go on a little vacation and relax for a little while.
Yeah.
Why is it so hard? Oh, I'm terribly sorry, Charlie.
Oh.
I didn't see that.
Oh, what a mess. You know, you folks gesture with your hands a little bit too much.
Here, I'll help you clean that up. What kind of statue was it, Charlie? I noticed it as it was flying through the air.
It was a statue of Charles de Gaulle, made by the famous Chinese statue maker, Wally Chuberg.
Oh, I hope it wasn't worth too much.
Yeah, we tripods are always breaking things. Remember that time back in Big Bear City that you knocked over that entire display in the department store cost thousands of dollars to replace?
Yeah, and remember the time when you messed up your uncle's brand new chair?
No, I don't remember that.
Yeah, you claimed you were throwing it out the window at a burglar. Remember?
Wait, no, I don't.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah, you said there was a burglar, but it turned out to be a cat.
Wait, that's just funny. Charlie,
Howard,
I don't even remember that.
Howard, in 20 years, you're going to think it's all right.
I can just see Howard doing that.
Oh, boy. You ripped Charles.
I don't understand you folks. Why is it so funny about this? No. I never threw a chair at a cat through a window in Big Bear City. What is that?
Let's just say we've developed a bad reputation over the years.
Oh, for breaking things. Yeah, we're always breaking things. It's simply unbelievable.
Yeah, we sure have. Phew, we must have chalked up a couple of $100,000 in insurance premiums alone.
Well, there's another one of those statues around somewhere.
Oh, good. I hate to think I broke something of value.
Yeah, there's another one in France somewhere. It's supposed to be the only other one in existence.
Oh, then I did break something valuable.
Oh.
I mean, I feel just awful, just terrible.
If there's anything we can do to repay you, Charlie...
You think there was only one more in existence?
Oh.
Well, wait a minute.
What?
Oh, just wait 1 minute.
What is it?
Charlie, where did you say the last remaining copy of that statue was?
It's in France somewhere. I think it was in a town called Nice or something like that.
That's it. Howard, we're going to France.
What, we are?
We're going to find that statue. And we're going to bring it back home if it's the last thing we ever do. What?
And so it's statue hunting in France for the tripods. You'll want to tune in next week when we'll hear Kathy say,
"It'll be nice to see your niece in Nice, won't it?"
That's next week on the Tripods, a presentation of Radio Free Long Island and the Three Village Tobacco Farms. Substituting for the vacationing Don Topeka, this is Jeff Croton.
Hi there. This is John DiBella telling you that the equal opportunity and equal education is available to all who listen to WUSB. If you believe that, I have some swamp land you might be interested in. Also a small bridge that's falling over Brooklyn. USB is a real nice radio station. If anybody where I work found that out, I'd get in a lot of trouble.
Ballpark far, far away, a major league umpire decided to stand up against an oppressive system. No man had ever dared to do this before, but this man was built of stronger stuff. His name, Lex Skywalker.
Tired of this. Everything we umpires do, all you ball players argue about. You always get your way. Why can't we get ours? I'm really fed up with this, and I'm sure a lot of umpires feel the same way that I do. I'm going to get into a hotel room right now and have a meeting with them. Get together and unite on this important issue. We've got to show those ball players that we're not going to take any more of their abuse. And we've got to show the people and the press and the government as well. I'm not afraid of the consequences, and you shouldn't be either. All we have to do is stand together in solidarity. And I, Lex Skywalker, hereby call for an umpire's strike.
Some call him a madman, others call him a genius. See the story of Lex Skywalker in The Umpire's Strike Back, coming soon to a theater near you.
Well, I'll be sure to rush right out and check that out. How about you, Mike?
Oh, for sure, for sure.
It's 1:56 and 16 degrees in Stony Brook.
That's about 61 Fahrenheit.
I believe so, yes. We have the news for you now.
Okay, at least 100,000 labor union members and their allies are expected to take part Saturday in Solidarity Day. It's a protest against President Reagan's economic and social policies, and more than 1,100 affiliates of the AFL-CIO have promised to send delegations. A group like the NAACP and the League of Women Voters will also be participating. But the target of the protest won't even be in Washington. President Reagan is spending the weekend at Camp David, Maryland, after a trip to Grand Rapids, Michigan, and Denver. In a speech to a Republican women's group in Denver Friday, Reagan vowed to pursue his economic policies, and he rebuked what he called the chicken littles of Wall Street and the money markets for not having confidence in his economic policies. Eric?
Organizers of the demonstration at California's Diablo Canyon nuclear plant are predicting still more people will join the protest over the weekend. Nearly 1,050 people have been arrested in the past 4 days of protests at the power plant on the Central California coast. Rock singer Jackson Brown was among those carried off to jail on Friday. A controversial rugby match is also scheduled for the Chicago area on Saturday. But nobody's saying just where the South African Springboks will square off with the Midwestern rugby team. The location is being kept secret to prevent disruptions by opponents of South Africa's separatist racial policies. Mike?
President Reagan's budget-cutting red pencil apparently won't cross out the Consumer Product Safety Commission after all. Congressional administration sources said Friday that the president planned next week to propose that the agency be abolished. But a spokesman for the Consumer Commission's chairman says that's not so. According to the spokesman, top White House officials say the idea was considered, then abandoned.
An attorney for President Reagan's campaign committee says he may try to block the Federal Election Commission from releasing any more campaign audit reports. Attorney Herbert Fenster says the audit reports are interim documents that should not be published. The Reagan campaign is already in court fighting the release of a preliminary audit that alleges misspending of $1.5 million and the violation of federal election laws. Eric?
Well, a federal jury has convicted six self-avowed Nazis of conspiring to blow up parts of Greensboro, North Carolina last year. The judge in the Asheville trial gave three of the Nazis five-year prison terms and $10,000 fines. The others were handed suspended sentences or probation. And the jury in the San Francisco murder conspiracy trial of Larry Layton resumes deliberations Saturday. The former People's Temple cult member is accused of conspiring to murder California Congressman Leo Ryan and a U.S. diplomat in Guyana in 1978. Mike?
Navy divers may join the search Monday for the wreckage of the Karen E. cabin cruiser to help determine how the vessel sank the night of August 9th, killing five West Hartford residents, according to Coast Guard officials. Lieutenant Commander Michael Conway, who heads the search, says if arrangements can be made with the Navy, a diving team will examine an area in eastern Long Island Sound, several miles from Old Lyme, believed to be where the cabin cruiser sank. The Coast Guard has been searching for the vessel since September 12th.
Coast Guard divers Thursday were denied the special permission needed to make the dive to a depth of more than 130 feet. Some Navy divers officials say are authorized to go below the 130-foot limit. Chief Warrant Officer Michael O'Brien says the Coast Guard, using a sonar device, has detected an underwater object that probably is the 36-foot Karen E, but divers were unable to confirm whether it was the vessel while they remained at the 130-foot depth. Conway said a decision on whether the Navy will make the dive should be announced over the weekend.
Conway says a safety zone extending 1 mile in every direction from the site of the proposed dive will be established Monday, and unauthorized boats will not be allowed in the area. If divers find the Karen E., Conway said, they will make videotape of the vessel, check gauges, examine any damage to it, and obtain paint scrapings. It is not known how long the underwater operation would take, Conway said.
Officials have said the purpose of the dive is to help in the investigation of how the vessel sank. Richard Lublin of West Hartford, the boat's owner and only survivor, claims the Karen E. boat was rammed at night by a cement-laden barge in tow behind a tugboat. But McAllister Brothers officials, owner of the tug David McAllister, have claimed they were not at fault in the accident.
Testimony during a Coast Guard hearing in New York has not concluded whether either party was at fault in what apparently was a collision that sank the Karen E. The hearing is to resume on Monday. Among those killed on the boat were Lublin's 10-year-old daughter and his neighbor. Their bodies washed up on islands in the Sound shortly after the sinking, and there's other bodies still missing.
Well, New York City Mayor Edward Koch insists the gesture he made to a Brooklyn heckler was not an obscene one-fingered motion, but a three-fingered Boy Scout salute. The newspaper reporters and the recipient of the gesture saw only one finger extended, but Koch said later that three fingers were indeed extended. So you deny, deny, another reporter asked Koch later in his City Hall office. Yeah, the mayor responded. Why, do you have a picture of it? Koch said the three-fingered salute was much more effective in dealing with hecklers, saying, when you give them the three-fingered Boy Scout salute, they go crazy. Mike?
The salute occurred in Brooklyn yesterday after the owner of a camera store, Matthew Weinstein, began yelling at Koch about the lack of city services in the area while Koch was talking to reporters. Koch, who was endorsing Norman Rosen for Brooklyn District Attorney, ignored the heckler and got into his official car. As the car pulled away, the mayor made the salute. Weinstein said later, I have perfect vision. It was one finger, and incidentally, it was his middle finger. Weinstein, who owns Mayfair Photo on Coney Island Avenue, said he was asking Koch questions about the lack of sanitation crews and other community problems. Weinstein said, this man isn't concerned about Brooklyn. I was asking legitimate questions, and this was his response. Rosen, the assistant district attorney, is battling former Congresswoman Elizabeth Holtzman for the Democratic nomination for district attorney.
Sounds like quite a scandal they got over there.
That sure is.
Almost as big as our Stony Brook scandal.
That's true. Do you have a look at the weather?
Do I have a look at the weather? Yes, I do, in fact. No sports?
No.
Oh, well. Well, it's 16 degrees outside, 61 Fahrenheit. It'll be mostly cloudy with a chance of a few showers tonight. Low will be in the 50s. Partly sunny and cool tomorrow. High around 70. Partly cloudy and cool tomorrow night. Lows in the 50s. Chance of rain will be 50% throughout the night. And the outlook for Sunday, sunny and cool, high around 70. So it looks like a good day to go out to Greenport and Shelter Island. Still haven't gotten any calls from that area. If anybody wants to guide us around, feel free.
246-7901 is the number here at WUSB.
Stony Brook. Once again, it's 16 degrees outside, 61 Fahrenheit. And 2 o'clock, straight up. No, actually, 203.
Straight across.
Yeah, and time for our album side, which we always do at this time of night.
Well, this night we're not going to be doing an album side. In fact, it's going to be one song, two songs that are kind of expanded somewhat.
Explain it to the folks.
I will. There is a reggae-type electronic tune by a fellow named Eddie Grant entitled Living on the Front Line and the Front Line Symphony, and there's a whole bunch of neat synthesizers and stuff in it, and it's really a great danceable tune. Normally it runs about 13 minutes, but through some the miracle of audio tape, razor blades and scotch tape as well, and a lot of time and effort, I kind of like expanded it to somewhat longer, and that's what we're going to play tonight.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So, without any further ado, let's get into Eddie Grant.
All right.
Living on the front line.
say yeah, yeah, oh yeah. Ooh, what kind of man could I be if I can talk about what I see? Oh, they tell me got to be well, take a little money and go. Me no want no dirty money, no. Oh, mama, mama, you got me living on the front line. Oh, mama, mama, you got me born in the wrong time. Ah, yeah, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, 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 yeah. Yeah, oh yeah, oh.
We'll be right back. living on the front line. Oh, mama, mama, you got me born in the wrong time. Ah, yeah, yeah, whoa. Whoa, 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 yeah, yeah, whoa, yeah. To all my brothers in Africa, oh, stop a shooting your brother. To all my brothers in Africa, oh, stop a shooting your brother. I need you, brothers in Africa. Oh, we are born from the same mother. Oh, mama, mama, you got me born on the front line. Oh, mama, mama, you got me living on the front line. Oh, yeah, yeah, whoa, yeah. Whoa, 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 yeah, yeah, whoa. Oh, mama, mama, you got me living on the front line. Me no want no bloody money. Me, I'm a talk about what I see. I don't want your bribery. Me, I'm a talk about what I see. Me no want to go America. Oh, me no want to become bitter. Me no want to take cocaine. Oh, to the broke of my brain. Oh, mama, mama, you got me living on the front line. Oh, mama, mama, you got me living on the front line. Oh, I say yeah, yeah, oh.
Unbelievable. Mike, how long was that song?
It was originally about 13 minutes.
Uh-huh. And what did you do to it?
I expanded it somewhat.
A little bit. How was the final time on that?
32:42.
How about that? And I understand that's part one.
Yeah, part two, the dub version's coming up next week.
Okay, well, I'll look forward to that.
It might not be there quite that long, though.
Eddie Grant would be proud. He certainly would be. Can you imagine him playing for that long?
Oh, boy.
In the studio like that?
It's an excellent, really nice tune, though.
It is. And,
I think so.
And fun to work with. Now, you could actually make that... infinite.
You could.
Can you imagine that?
Yes, I could imagine that.
Can you imagine a radio station that plays nothing but one song continuously? It's not so far from some stations right now.
That's true. That's very true. Like the one I'm forced to listen to at work.
Oh, really? We
yeah.
all know about stations like that.
Yeah.
How we'd love to just, you know, tell the boss to, you know,
stay out of it
and let you tackle the radio dial and turn to the stations that you like.
Yeah.
Like WUSB in Stony Brook.
Where else? I tell you, you know, there were so many things you could have done while that song was on, and which I did do.
Well, tell the folks what you did while that song was
okay,
on.
Okay, well,
this is absolutely amazing.
Now, normally what we do here is, you see, we usually do this album side thing, and we go out and, well, we order a pizza, and we have it delivered, and we have a time, so the pizza's waiting just after the news is over. And we eat it, we enjoy it, we savor every bite during the album side. But this one, this thing, since this was so long, we had so much time. Well, the pizza place that we usually call up, they were busy. Their lines were busy, so I drove down and I picked up a pizza and I got back and we finished eating even before the thing was over.
And we didn't rush either.
No, we didn't.
Took our time the whole way through.
That's right.
Well, we hope you enjoyed that version of that tune.
Yes.
Well, I know a few people did. They called up during the song.
Yes, I'd like to hear from you, too, and whether you thought it was too long or too short or...
Just right.
Too fast or too slow.
Or something like that.
Yeah.
2-4-6-7-9-0-1. Yeah. 2:40 on the AM side of a Saturday morning. I believe it's the 18th of September, 1981.
19th. 19th? It's the 19th now, Eric.
I thought it was the 18th. It's the 19th.
It is.
I stand accused. Corrected.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Something like that.
Okay, well, that's fine with me.
Mm-hmm.
We have 16 Celsius, 60...
One.
Fahrenheit. What's the weather like out there as long as you took a trip outside?
It is raining now.
It's raining?
It is raining.
Light, heavy?
It seems like it's a fairly light rain. But actually, it's hard to describe. They're big droplets, more than you'd get in a drizzle.
Uh-huh.
Like the kind of droplets you'd get in a torrential rain, but it wasn't
like
coming down that much.
The kind that precede a big thunderstorm. Oof. You always get those big drops that hit the pavement with a kind of, you know, and...
Yeah, and then you're sitting in your car and you hear them banging on the roof.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that kind.
You want to bang back and say, shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Well, we have a tune here that we're going to dedicate to all you folks who've been out tonight.
And we do have more Bunky and Spunky coming, so...
Oh, yeah, so...
Of some one sort or another.
That's for sure. But this song is dedicated to all you folks who were out partying tonight, doing all sorts of fun things.
Is this the Specials?
It is the Specials. In fact, it's from the new EP that they have out, the Ghost Town EP. And it's got this song on it, too. It's called Friday Night and Saturday Morning.
All right.
As it said, it's 8 a.m. Out my head by 10:30. Out with mates and dates and friends. That's what I do at weekends. I can't talk and I can't walk, but I know where I'm going to go. I'm going to watch my money go at the Locarno. When my feet go through the door, I know what my right arm is for. Buy a drink and pull a chair up to the edge of the dance floor. Dancers bouncing through the night,
flashing lights, moving legs in footless ties. I come out on Friday night. The bar gets full. I don't like life when things get dull. The hen party have saved the night. Treat themselves from drunken stacks. Having fun and dancing in the circle round the leather bags. I go out on Friday night and I come home on Saturday.
No more. bathroom, scrub the kitchen, make the dinner, dust the azaleas. Work, work, work. Gosh, sometimes I wish I had four hands.
Stop wishing, Mrs. Neuron.
Huh?
That's right. Al and Ted, two guys recombinant DNA specialists, bring you Crazy Chromosomes.
Huh?
That's right, Crazy Chromosomes. Want four hands? Can Junior use a fully functional pair of gills? Does Dad need a prehensile tail? Then Crazy Chromosomes is for you.
Huh?
That's right. Just pour some of the patented three-way ribonucleic ingotron nitrile powder into the handy biomorphotic saline solution, whirl it up in the blender, and plug yourself into the Miracle-Gro electronic cataclysm pseudocomputer, and you're ready to roll.
Huh?
That's right. So rush $439.95 in cash or gold bullion to Crazy Chromosomes, Two Guys Enterprises Grand Central Station, Selden. Not available in stores. Miracle-Gro electronic cataclysm pseudocomputer sold separately. Offer limited, so hurry, hurry, hurry.
Huh?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
It sure is.
Oh, boy. Where's it going to end?
It never stops.
Grand Central Station, Selden?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. It's new. It's new.
It must be very new.
It's not the. It's near the all-night vegetable stand, you know.
I thought the vegetable stand was in Huntington.
Oh, that's Mr. Greenbaum's vegetable stand.
Mr. Greenbaum, okay.
I wonder what happened to Cal.
I don't know, but a lot of strange things going on at the radio station tonight, that's for certain.
You know who's going to be following us? This is the strangest part. Craig Carlson.
Craig Carlson's after us instead of Rob Zeiser. He's moved over.
Yeah.
So, they switched nights. Yeah, a lot of interesting things like that going on. Also,
And Rob called before, and he says he wants me to tell Craig to tell all the people out there that Rob is thinking of him.
Oh, that's good.
So make sure you do that, Craig.
That includes us, I hope.
I hope so.
Yeah, otherwise you won't tell them that. Also, if you're talking about changes on the radio station, Folk Festival USA is now on Friday mornings at 10. You just missed it this Friday, but you can catch it again next Friday.
Now, wait a minute. Before we... Okay, two questions. First of all,
sure.
Folk Festival USA is going to be ending shortly.
Yeah, the series will be over as part of the budget cuts.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, Folk Festival USA was one of the first victims.
Sounds like a B-movie.
Yeah, Jazz on the Air moves to Tuesdays at 10 a.m.
Okay, now that's another question.
Okay.
I hear there's going to be 3 hours of classical programming Saturday night.
Yeah, from 7 o'clock at night to 10 at night, Saturday and Sunday. So we have evening classical music on the weekends now.
No, wait a minute. Sunday night, it's going to be from when to when?
7 to 10.
Oh,
both
really?
Nights. Isn't that something?
Okay, so there's going to be a telephone call-in show on Sunday nights?
Yeah, from 10 to 12, The Beat. Some of you might be familiar with that. It was on during the week last year, but it's now at a brand new time, 10 o'clock on Sunday nights.
Okay, what's going to go from 6 to 7 on Sundays?
6 to 7 on Sundays. Well, it's kind of a surprise, actually. Something very, very special starting up in October.
Well, what is it?
It's a surprise. We can't tell you until... It's a very good surprise, though, and will hear plenty about it when it comes out.
Okay, what's going to be there now, this Sunday?
This Sunday, let me think. I think we're repeating Earplay, then.
Oh!
I think that's what we're going to do. Yes, we are going to repeat Earplay up until that new program comes in sometime in October.
I won't say
any more about that now.
Now, Sino 78 will remain from 5 to 6?
Sino 78, our Chinese music program, yes, from 5 to 6. Walt Scratch will be on 2 to 5 as usual. Jazz Live has moved to 10 p.m. on Saturdays.
Okay.
From 7 p.m.
Now, Lister stays the same, right?
Lister will always stay the same.
Well,
12 noon to 3:30. And that's pretty much it as far as major changes have gone, I think.
I see. Oh.
Yeah. And, of course, we have a new name now.
Yes, the voice of...
Long Island.
And Southern Connecticut.
Yeah. And other places that might pick us up, too.
Yeah, like Northern New Jersey.
Sure. Westchester County.
The Atlantic Ocean.
Russian ships out there. It's happened a few times.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't go over what we heard.
That is an important integral part of a radio show.
Before that strange thing about Grand Central Station, Selden, we heard Human Sexual Response. They have a second album out. It's got a picture of a horse on the front cover this time. It's called In a Roman Mood. I don't know exactly what the...
I don't want to talk about it!
Oh, sorry. I don't know what the intention is there. And we heard a song called 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Is that 1,
That's
2,
the name of the song.
Wait a minute. Is that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10? Or is that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 1, 0?
I knew you were going to say that. Well, they sing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Oh.
Even though there's no, it could be read that way, too.
I don't want to talk about it.
Then get out. Good. So much for him. Before that, we heard from the Specials off their brand new EP. And I paid a lot of money for this thing. This is my copy.
The station doesn't have a copy?
No. This is a very exclusive EP that they have out. It's coming from the upcoming album, I guess. It's got an extended version of Ghost Town on it. Uh-huh. We heard Friday night, Saturday morning. From the Specials.
That's what this is right now.
That's exactly what it is.
Uh-huh.
It's a perfect song for this type of night, time of night, time of week.
This time of night at this week of the day.
On this station.
This week of the day.
Which is WUSB in Stony Brook.
Yeah.
And we have 5 minutes left. I'd like to, I guess we can continue on with various other things for at least 5 more minutes.
Well, what do you want to do? You want to babble on for a couple minutes, or?
Well, let's...
Wait a minute, we've been doing it for a while.
There's
only one thing that a question. Since Rob Zeiser's not following us tonight, Craig Carlson is. It's a tradition that we bounce over into his time slot for
at least
a few minutes. So we're going to have to do that with Craig too, right?
Initiation rights. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
We always do that
sure
to people.
Are.
But it's Saturday morning now. But it's almost Saturday night.
Cause it's almost Saturday night.
almost Saturday night.
Well, it's not even Saturday morning, hardly.
Well, it's getting there. It's closer than it was before.
Oh.
Carla DeVita. Yeah, you might remember Carla DeVita for her brilliant performances as Meatloaf's counterpart.
Ah.
Remember?
I knew it.
And she's featured in the video version also of Paradise by the Dashboard Light, as I understand it.
Oh, ho.
Yeah. And you know what she's doing now? Besides breaking things?
No, what?
She's starring in the Tony Award-winning Broadway show, The Pirates of Penzance.
She is? You mean, that's the one that Linda Ronstadt...
Yeah, she replaced Linda Ronstadt. Linda Ronstadt's no longer doing it.
I see. So now, what's her name again?
Carla DeVita.
Ooh. That's very interesting.
It sure is. So, another little factual information.
Well,
we hear Voice of Long Island
and Southern Connecticut. Well, Eric, it's been a real pleasure and a privilege being here the last 3 hours with you and our listener.
Same here, Mike.
I think we are up to about 5 listeners now, right?
I think so, if you want to count your parents.
Yeah. Yeah, but they only listen for about maybe 15 minutes and they doze off to sleep. So, figure 3 listeners.
It's good.
We've been getting some nice response to the show, and it's always good to hear.
Oh, yeah.
And even the bad response is good to hear. It proves that the people actually listening now. You know, where else can you find a tune and play it on the radio that's 32 minutes and 42 seconds long?
That's true. That's a very good point. Like, not too many other places. Not many stations would have the guts to do something like that.
Except us. WUSB Stony Brook.
We'll do it. Give us a call now, 246-7901. I'm sorry. I took your part away.
You
can say the area code.
Area code 516.
Thank you.
Somebody's calling right now.
Oh, good. Well, call us up from wherever you are, no matter how far away it is. It's a lot cheaper to call now, especially if you only talk for a minute or two. Like to talk some people out there as we're heading out of the radio station.
Yeah. Oh, another phone call, too.
Wow. In any event, we will be back next Friday night, Saturday morning, what have you, at 12:02.
You'll be back Tuesday night at 9.
Oh.
I'll be back Thursday night at 9.
With our own individual programs. Let's not confuse the folks.
Right.
Okay, well, I'll see you next Friday then, okay, Mike?
All right.
Take care.
Thank you.